You will never have to be concerned about sinning again. You'll walk holy in obedience to God's word. If you do make a slip up, if the devil does get through to you, you will immediately repent to God of your sin. And you'll walk holy and obedient to his word. And the more you get a hold of what God says you can do and who God says you are, the closer you will walk with him and the greater power and authority you will walk in on this earth. And as you learn these things, then scriptures like Romans 5:17 will come to life. You will literally reign and rule in life right now through one Jesus Christ, because you will realize that you and God are on the same side, but he's a faith God. And if you don't speak his words, the angels will not hearken. They will not help you. If you're speaking the words of the world, the trash of the world, I should say, if you're going around, if you're involved in music and you're involved in the secular songs, the angels do not hearken to those secular songs. But they hearken to the word of God that is sung, psalms and hymns. When you sing hymns of God and psalms, then the angels will hearken to those words that you're singing. But if you're watching soap operas, if you're out in the world, I don't care what you're doing in the world, if it's of the world, the angels will not hearken to those words. They will only listen to and obey the words of God because they know what it says. Then he says, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. So as he brought the Son of God in whenever he was born, it's obvious in Scripture that the angels came and worshiped him. I mean, angels were everywhere. They manifest in the heavens. The shepherds saw them. What a magnificent event that must have been to have been so privileged to watch and see these magnificent beings of grandeur manifest themselves into a realm where we could see them, where the shepherds could see them, and we got to see them, or the people that lived at that time did, got to see these angels worshiping the Son of God as he lay there in that little tiny manger. As we saw that, it is something. But to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and is a scepter of your kingdom. So he has forever settled this thing in heaven. It's forever. So he says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness and more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. When you get a hold of the fact, like it took me a long time to realize, I know I talked about this, but to think that the King of the universe, the one that made the worlds, the one that's in charge of all these angels and all these beings of grandeur and all of this magnificence, he, in these last days, has chosen you and me as a temple to live in on the earth. He lives right here. So you don't ever have to be concerned about God going away from you and or not being with you. He is always with you. Always. Because he's in you. You cannot get away from him. And he tells us this. Then he says, and he talks about the heavens and the earth of which he has created. But he says, but they will perish. But you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. In other words, everything we see today, even the human being, the flesh, it appears to be growing old. And when God created the human being, he created him to live forever. It was not going to ever fade away. Man was going to live forever. But sin, the devil, Satan came upon the scene. He was that being of grandeur, that magnificent anointed cherub that walked in the garden of God. He was one of the most anointed cherubs. And when he fell, when greed, he was perfect in all of his ways. He was an angel, a created being, and he was so magnificently beautiful. When you read in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Isaiah, the magnificence of who he was and how he received the worship and praise from the angels, and he passed it directly on to the Father. How he walked in the garden of God. How he was created so beautiful and so powerful. One of the most anointed cherubs. What a magnificent being he was. But yet he wasn't happy. He wanted to exalt his throne above the Most High. And God says, you can't do that. I'm not going to let you do that. So there was war in heaven. And this angel, Satan, was cast out of heaven. But to give you an idea of his ability to deceive, when you think of the ability of Satan to deceive a human being, you think about that the angels in heaven that had been with God, walked with God, had seen him and had worshiped him and praised him. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he was so deceiving that he literally deceived one third of the angelic host, and they fell too with him. It's beyond my imagination to think that here are these beings, these magnificent beings of grandeur, angels, multitudes of them, millions upon millions of them, how Satan could deceive one third of them. And they followed him. And God gave them a choice. Just like he does you and I today. God never forces anyone to accept him. He gives each one of us a free choice to believe that he is or to believe that he is not. It's your choice. But he's done plenty of things to prove to us that he is. Number one, he tells in chapter 1 of the book of Romans, for no other reason every human being shall be held accountable for the creation. When we look and see the creation and the magnificence of the creation. Last night, when we came in, I turned on GLC to watch part of it. And as we, just before we got ready to go to bed, I happened to flip a channel, and it happened to flip over to some kind of an animal program. I don't know whether it was Discovery Channel or what it was, but something. And it was talking about animals. Happened to be two giraffes on the screen. And the man talking, he talked about how evolution had changed these beings so that some of them had long necks. And I thought to myself, that poor man, he has been so deceived and so blinded that here we've been here on this earth for a few thousand years, and the giraffe has never changed in those few thousand years. They had the long neck 6,000 years ago. They still have that long neck today. They have not evolved into a different being. No creature has ever evolved. All creatures were made by God, and they've always been the same. So I think how deceived man can be on the earth today to think that the evolutionary process is working. I don't see how anybody could be that deceived, but we are. But I don't understand how the angels could have been so deceived. They were seeing God. They were living with him. They knew where he was. They could worship him and praise him. And who knows how many eons of years they had worshiped and praised him. And they had saw his magnificence and his glory. And still, Satan deceived one third of them and made them believe that he was more powerful than God. And so they were kicked out of heaven. If Satan can do that to the angelic beings, then let me tell you, you better really be on your guard, because that beast will do it to you. He is doing it to Christians every day. He has done it to me far too many times. But realize, he's an angel and he's a defeated angel. He has no power whatsoever. No power. The only power Satan has today is what you give him. Now, if you do not give Satan that power, he does not have any. When he tempts you with sin, you have the power within you as a Christian to say no to sin. You don't have to yield to it. But far too often, when the enemy comes, since we cannot see this invisible being called an angel, Satan, and he has a multitude of these fallen beasts, demons, and fallen spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. There's fallen angels that are all over the place, and those beings are there to steal, kill, and to destroy from us as human beings. If you don't know that, they will make your life miserable. But if you know that, you can change everything in your life. When you realize the spirit world's out there, and it's the one that's trying to make you sick and steal, kill, and destroy from you. When you realize how these beings work and who they are, and that you have been given good angels to watch over you and protect you, it will change the way you do business when you get a hold of this. Now, these magnificent beings of grandeur are so absolutely awesomely wonderful that God has sent these angels and he has given them charge over us that are obedient. Now then, if you say, where do you get this obedience stuff? Well, it's all over the Bible. But you go back to Psalms 91. And when we get to Psalms 91, we find out there in Psalms 91 that the Lord starts out saying to those of us that will make him, the Most High God, our dwelling place. If we will dwell in him, if we will say of the Lord, he is my strength, he is my refuge, he is my God, he is my Lord, in him will I trust. Now then, if we're not ashamed of God, if we love him and praise him and worship him and put him first in our life, as we do that, you will see that the rest of Psalms 91 will work, where he says, I, God, will protect you from the snare of the fowler or the fallen angel. And then he says in his word, I will send my angels and I will give them charge over you so that you do not dash your foot against a stone. He will protect you.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.